that was a good one. I like that. Some flair.
All right. Oh, look who's here, Danelle. It's Nifty Nerds and Gaming Goons and some Joystick Jockeys. They've come here to our humble abode, which is called Pixel Land. And of course, they know that this is Double Shift, the show where seasoned game industry vets talk about how the hell does honey-baked ham stay in business if they only sell hams like 2 days out of the year?
Because they're so expensive.
Oh, okay. You answered it. We don't have to talk about it anymore.
I love honey-baked hams. We used to get them a lot, but they're like $70 a ham.
Here, I'll throw the paper again. That was my talking point, but no more. All right. But before we get to the honey-baked ham business, we will talk about video games. That much. A little bit. All right. This is sure to ruffle some Jeff feathers. I am your host, Mikey, a.k.a. DJ Guy who thinks the Beatles are the most important band in rock and roll history, along with my friend,
John
former
Simpson?
Colleague, and currently agreeing with me on that statement, Danelle. Say hello, Danelle.
Hello.
And then there's Jeff, who is one of those guys who likes to say that the Beatles are overrated because that's a trendy hot take that people like to give in recent years just to be different or to get attention or whatever the reason may be, and he's our producer.
That's true. Those are usually Jeff, the reasons.
Any response to that? No. All right. Well,
that's what Jeff sounds like to you?
Yeah. Just so the audience knows, that's what Jeff sounds like. Okay, go on.
Sounds like me.
Yeah,
that's what
a little
I feel
bit.
Like that I sound like in my head.
A little bit, yeah. That's kind of... it's almost my impression of you. It's just, you know, it's a little a little different. But if you're watching on the YouTube, which is Double Shift Podcast, and you look right here where my fingers are, you'll see our Instagram and our email, doubleshiftpod, all one word, at gmail.com for the email. Jeff, we have an email, right? You said we got one. Obviously, I don't have it in front of me. But our one of our major fans, Alberto, wrote in, I believe, and I think it was the Harvest episode about that game Harvester, where I talked about apples.
Gosh.
I talked about Honeycrisp apples, and he wrote in and said that he bought Honeycrisp apples because of us. So, you're welcome.
Oh, look at that. Influencers.
Exactly. And healthy, too.
It's true. An apple a day.
Apple a day does something. Yep. It'll give you the green apple quick steps. I'll tell you that much for free. enough about fart jokes. So, yeah, our Instagram or email, go check it out. Write us. Say that you bought apples. I think we posted an Instagram short the other day, or a reel, or whatever they're called. But check out our YouTube, too. Jeff's hard at work posting shorts and videos and responding to the hundreds and hundreds of comments that we get.
We have short shorts.
This week's episode is blandly titled, Folk Yeah! That wasn't a swear, you know, I said the word folk.
I like it.
I was going to write about just folk horror video games in general, but then I started to write about one of the games that was going to be included, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to talk about this game. We're going to do a game spotlight. Then it was one of my favorite gaming experiences that I've had in recent years, and it was a game that it had some very viral clips, at least in the gaming community, leading up to its release, and so today we'll be shining a spotlight on, drumroll please, Bramble the Mountain King. That's right, Bramble the Mountain King. I really, really love this game. Like I said, it made waves, or pond splashes, rather, if you've seen the clips, with really, really viral gaming clips, like leading up to its release date, with the main character, who's just a little kid, jumping across a pond with a bunch of giant lily pads, when all of a sudden a giant monster pops out of the water and tries to get him. So like that clip was all over gaming internet, and it was like, holy crap, what the hell is this game? It looks amazing. It was a beautiful, serene setting besides the monster, and it was, you know, very, very peaceful and amazing artwork, and Obviously unsettling due to the shock of this giant beast appearing with, you know, kind of against an idyllic setting. It's a really short game, but it's really well done. It tells an amazing story.
Oh, is it?
It's all based on Scandinavian folklore. So, you have any experience with Scandinavian folklore there, Danelle?
Ish. So, ish. Yeah, because I bought this, which is...
Uh-oh.
I bought this a while ago, like a couple years ago, but it's a... supposedly a Viking compass.
Gotcha.
Because I am a lot, I have a lot of Scandinavian in my blood. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped wearing it because I found out that it's like not like what it's like mostly just like popular culture stuff. It's not actual, like, the real one is like not this. And I don't know, people are just saying it's mostly like modern. It's not really old school. They didn't really actually use this. They didn't actually use it as a compass or something like that. I did some research on it afterwards, and I was like, well, now I don't want to wear this thing.
It's beachfront property in Arizona is what you're saying.
But I thought it was cool at the time, and then I also had bought a, what is this, like a Celtic, I don't know, symbol.
Ninja star.
Or, yeah, sure. Exactly.
Yeah, you throw it at people. And it
kills them. Other than that, I think... maybe Midsummer? Taught me about Midsummer? That's Scandinavian folklore, I would say, maybe.
Yeah, definitely a certain kind.
But
maybe not traditional,
that,
though. Yeah.
I don't really know any other folklore. Nope.
Excellent. Well, listen, we'll dive into it a little bit today.
I have some runes, actually, too.
Oh, you ruined it.
Yeah, there's like a... let's see what your rune is, but it's pretty cool. I used to kind of use these to, like, tell fortunes.
Yeah, and blood sacrifices and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. I think you'll like this game. In fact, I think, you know, at some point you should play it, but I hope you didn't before today, and we'll get to that in a minute. The setup for the story of Bramble the Mountain King, according to our good friends at Wikipedia... who I would ask to sponsor us, because I quote them a lot, except every time I go to their page, they're asking me for money.
Yes, they do.
You know what I mean? So let's call it even. But Wikipedia says, in an old Nordic land, a young boy named Ole, I believe I'm pronouncing that right. By the way, I'm going to be mispronouncing a ton of stuff today. But a young boy named Ole searches for his big sister, Lillimor, during the night. Eventually he finds her, but not long after they fall into a giant tree. I hate when that happens. Which magically shrinks them, and the siblings playfully spend time with the gnomes and fairies before returning to normal size. Except that things turn grim when a troll captures Lillimor to be taken to an unknown kingdom in a remote mountain. I hate when that happens.
Hmm.
With the mysterious stone of light that he finds, Ole traverses through the woods in search of his sister. So that's the basic premise for this story. And Danelle, I'm telling you, you would love this game.
Yeah, I want to hang out with some gnomes for sure.
Yeah, they seem whimsical and jolly and full of joy, you know. Probably make good soup, I would imagine. But outside of like some light puzzle and some light combat, very light, you're mostly walking around in this game. I mean, it's a story-based game. The game is mostly a story, and walking around is, like, the bulk of the gameplay. And also not dying. Walking around and not dying are your main gameplay elements, which is basically real life.
Seems, right? Yeah, I was like, seems easy enough.
Yeah, I mean, we've done that for, you know, won't reveal how old we are, but...
many years.
If we combined all three of our years together, we've done it for at least 25 years. So, you know, unlike real life, you will encounter some ghastly beast throughout your adventure, which I mentioned before is based on real Scandinavian folklore. So today we're going to get into some of those creatures, but let's take care of a couple things first. The music is amazing. The soundtrack is really, really good. And you I have to, if the music's amazing, it's got me, Mr. Mikey.
Mr. Mikey.
It's always a huge plus when the soundtrack's great. One of the songs from the soundtrack has made it into regular rotation for me.
Oh.
So I wanted to take a minute, I don't know, 30 seconds or so, to listen to a bit of it now. So remember, this is from a horror game, Danelle. Keep that in mind when we listen to this song. So, Jeff, if you have that queued up for us, let's take a listen to this one of the songs from Bramble. My favorite part about that song is, in the context of the game, at least, Danelle, that we just listened to uninterrupted, is that it is a beautiful song. And at that point in the game, or when you're experiencing this song playing in the game, everything around you is beautiful as well. Very serene. Character movement is whimsical. The background and the lighting are quite peaceful, and the environment is a place where anyone would love to be, spend a Sunday afternoon drinking tea. Although you mentioned Midsommar, maybe we should take it easy on the tea if it's from that region.
Oh, yes, for sure. It's laced.
You'll see things, yes. The reason that I like that so much, or it works so well for me as a consumer of the game, is that around the corner is unimaginable fear, astronomical danger, and unavoidable dread. So, the light and the dark, essentially. And I'm here for, I like the light and the dark themes.
It definitely made me feel calm.
Yeah, too calm, you know.
That's true, actually.
That's when giant mountain monsters eat you,
that's typically. That's how they get you. You're right. Calm.
Yeah, so if you ever find yourself in the mountains in the Scandinavian region, don't be too calm because you'll get eaten. It's what I'm trying to say. So anyways, we're going to get into some of the folklore that is that has inspired this game. I don't want to spoil it too much for Danelle because she has not played this game, and what do we like to do when Danelle has not played a game? Even though after you do this, I'm not going to give too many spoilers because I really do want people to go play it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
A clean slate, if you will. But I want you to have a clean slate as well. With your unbiased, unabashed, and unplayed review of Bramble the Mountain King. So if you're ready, Danelle, Jeff, if you can hit that awkward guitar intro, we'll get right to Danelle Reviews Games.
Oh no, already?
Yeah! Danelle Reviews Games!
Fuck yeah!
That she hasn't played! If she played the game, then she wouldn't review it.
Yeah. All right. Well, go for it, Danelle, if you're ready.
I am 100% with you. My first thing was the music.
Yeah.
But so I watched a trailer on it and I was like, what the F is this game? It didn't show me anything really. Yeah, it showed some kid walking around. That's exactly my thing. Was like, it looks like you're doing a lot of walking around.
You are.
It just showed a kid in a forest, but the graphics looked amazing. It looked like there was so much detail. And I really liked all the sounds because it's like, it was like just a kid walking around, but like you could hear like the leaves crunching as like walking on the forest. So there's like no music though. And it was just like all the sounds that you could hear, like all the ambient sounds, crows, like, or some birds like in the forest, you know, cawing. I guess that's birds caw, right? I don't know.
Yes, crows sure. Caw, I believe.
I don't know,
yes.
But I don't know why there would be crows at night, I guess, in a forest or whatever time it is, but yeah, so I didn't really get much from the video because it didn't show much, but that was a trailer like before, it was like 2 years ago, I guess this came out or something like that.
Yes, yeah.
And so it didn't really show much, so I was like, it didn't make me want to play it though,
right.
Because I didn't know what was going on, but yeah, listening to the music and just seeing the whole entire... the background, like the scenery. Gosh, that was the word I was trying to look for.
Right.
But the scenery and the graphics, like, look so pretty. And I don't know. It made me want to play it. I mean, I didn't want to play it because I didn't know what it was about, but it intrigued me enough because of the music and because of the whole folklore, of it all, and it looked, I don't know, I just, there was something about the feel of it.
Yes.
That actually kind of made me want to play it. I don't know, it felt creepy, but it, yeah, I don't know, but it was intriguing. I'm actually going to go ahead and give this an 8 out of 10, even though I don't know really much about the game, but it was solely based on, the feel of it and the look of it. And I don't really like walking around games though. And like interactive, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not really a big, like, what's even the genre even called? I don't even know.
It's not quite this, but there's stuff that people will call like a visual novel type thing.
Oh yeah. Okay. I could see that.
There is a different name for this, like, sub genre. I just can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's adventure, you know, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my style of game at all, but
yeah.
I really love the whole feel of it and the look of it and the sounds of it, and it just totally sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's, like, a lot of it will be, you're just trying to escape something, and so, like, when you're jumping across the lily pads, it's like, you have to do it at the right timing or you'll die, but there's not much to it, right? Like, it's one of those games, and there's a lot of them where you're like, oh shit, I'm playing a game, and then you like start pressing, you know, you're like, forget for a second. You know, there's other games called like little nightmares that's very similar, where you're just like slowly escaping giant terror. You know,
so you have played this or you haven't?
Oh yeah, I played it. It was one of my favorite experiences I had when I played it.
Oh, really?
I was very hooked by the viral clips, and it was coming to Game Pass. Sponsor us. I guess I should do an ad for Game Pass. Game Pass recently raised their prices, so sponsor Double Shift so we don't pay for it.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking, actually.
That's my ad. But yeah, no, I loved it, and it's mostly just for the overall experience of it. Actual gameplay elements are fine. They're like not the best, but they're not bad, but they're not the best. But
yeah,
I agree with your 8 out of 10, just because I really did like, my wife doesn't play video games anymore, but I told her, I was like, you should play this just because it's a freaking awesome story and you know, all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, that's what it seems like. So I'm curious to hear what else you have to say.
So I'm basically going to go through, well, thank you for the review, Danelle. If 8 out of 10 isn't a buy now, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
talking to you, Alberto. I'm looking right into the camera at you, Alberto, and I'm pointing at you. That actually hurt my eyes because of the light. Anyways, remind me never to talk to Alberto directly like that again. I'm going to go blind.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about a couple of the creatures from the game and explore their history a little bit. So,
ooh,
that'll be fun, right?
Very interested.
Now, listen, I'm going to, like I said, butcher a lot of these names and pronunciations. So, what do you want from me, Jeff? You know, I didn't learn Swedish overnight. Anyways, we're going to start with the Nokken, I believe it's pronounced. And there's like 50 names for this creature because it's used all over old European folklore. But so the Nokken in Bramble in the game is the one that you see where our hero is walking near the pond, and he and the big guy pops out of the water. So in the game, you're walking around near a pond, and then you start to hear an enchanting song, and it draws you towards the water. Gleefully, our hero skips towards a giant lily pad. With a hop, skip, and a jump, he plops right into the water. In the distance, there's a blurry, gigantic creature who's playing the fiddle music that you hear that pulled you in. Once the creature hears the splash, he kind of looks at you, and then he submerges into the water, and it's really chilling and stunning, and like, holy shit, because it's like kind of blurry, you know, in the background.
Yeah.
Oh. Amazing. So, like I said, this is the part of the game that was sort of in all those initial viral clips. Ole hops from lily pad to lily pad, stomps through mud slowly, and continues on his way when all of a sudden that vile creature appears out of nowhere from the water and takes a swipe at you. And he misses you if you do it right. Oh. He like looks in his hand and he's like, huh? And so from there you run away and you can't slip up once or he'll get you. You're done, son, if you slip up. And then it's like a real sense of like suspense and anxiety and terror during these kind of moments because you're like slowly escaping through deep mud and the creature is crawling slowly behind you through the mud. And then you're clearly panicked because like the whimpers and the scared face, they do a really good job of making the kids scared in the game. And then there's like eerie and growing violin music as you're running away, and it's super chaotic and it's gorgeous. It's just absolutely beautiful. So
yeah, it seems like it.
Eventually, you have to kind of hide behind walls from his fiddle music. He'll be like playing fiddle, and he'll kind of hit a note, and it will blast at you. And then so it sounds really dumb, but it makes sense when you see it. What else? Yeah, so you do a bunch of stuff to escape, and I don't want to give everything away because I think Alberto should play this game. This is an ad for Alberto and all of our fans. Watson, Brandon, yeah. I think I named them all. Danelle's sister-in-law. Oh, right? It's four. Yeah. We have four fans.
Yeah.
So anyways, the Nokken folklore, at least for this game, because there's so many different stories, this game went with this one. So mainly this creature is known as Nixie. Which more or less means water spirit. And it was often told as a cautionary tale that teaches kids not to get too close to the water. And our friend from the world of Bramble has a bit of a heartbreaking background, Danelle. Oh. So as most villains do, right? They start out good, maybe, and then something happens, and maybe they tried to think, who knows? So in his past life, he was just a simple man who loved playing his violin. All the people of the village where he lived hated him for whatever reason. Maybe they thought his playing was annoying or something, but they made fun of him and they beat him up all the time. Except for one woman who was nice to him, and so of course he fell in love with her.
Aww.
And I mean, yeah, I get it. Like if I were a musician who lived in a place where every day people made fun of me and kicked my ass, except for one girl who was nice to me and liked my music, I'd probably fall in love as well.
Yeah.
But anyways, he couldn't take it anymore and became so enraged that he marched into the center of the village and played a song so enchanting that everyone in town began to dance. They danced until their flesh and bone broke down and eventually died. Even after their groovy death, their corpses were anything but lifeless as they continued to dance to the music. Must have been a banger. But it was too good. It was such a banger that the woman that he fell in love with also danced herself to death. So maybe it was The Dead Dance by Lady Gaga. You know that one, Danelle? Dude, The Dead Dance.
No, I don't.
Anyways, that was a good one. Anyways, it wasn't Lady Gaga. She didn't exist in those times. Maybe she did. Maybe she's a vampire witch. I don't know. She could be. Anyways, he was quite forlorn. He carried his lifeless, unrequited lover away. Unsure what he did with her. But he lived by the lake, feeling sorry for himself and luring people into their watery graves by playing his fiddle. So that's pretty much the background that the game team went for their version of this monster. What do you think, Danelle? You like this guy? You feel sorry for him? F him? What do you think?
Both. I mean...
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, during my research, I found some funny paragraphs that are a little bit out of context that I copied and pasted and I wanted to read. So... Let's read those about our friend the Nakan, and then we'll move on. Are you ready for this, Danelle?
Yep.
All right, first out-of-context paragraph. The enthralling music was most dangerous to women and children, especially pregnant women and unbaptized children.
Oh.
He was thought to be most active during Midsummer's Night, Christmas Eve, and Thursdays. However, these superstitions do not necessarily relate to all the versions listed here. Many, if not all, developed after the Christianizing of northern countries and was the case of similar stories of fairies and other entities in other areas. So the reason I liked that was, you know, he was most active in killing people on Midsummer's Night, Christmas Eve, and then Thursdays.
And Thursdays, yeah.
Thirsty Thursdays, he called them. So here's another... I thought it was a funny paragraph. It made me chuckle. Another belief was that if a person brought him a treat of three drops of blood, a black animal, some bronvin, which is Scandinavian vodka, or snus, or wet snuff, which is tobacco, dropped into the water, he would teach them his enchanting form of music. So basically what I read, bring him food, booze, and smokes, and he'll teach you how to play Smoke on the Water or something. It sounds like every guitar teacher ever, so I thought that was kind of funny.
Nice.
And listen, I could talk about out-of-context paragraphs all day from the internet.
That's hilarious.
But we have another character to get to. So, are you ready for this?
Nice.
Da-na-na-na-na-na.
I'm ready.
Sorry. Our next character, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this right, Skolskra. I don't know. Skolskra. However you say it. It's in the game, you'll get to a section where you think you
Close
see
enough.
Your lost sister running and laughing and having a grand old time. Naturally, you start to chase after her. And you'll follow her into a forest, and then you'll come upon a giant grouping of trees. So the sister is not actually the sister, Lilimor, but is a projection created by the Skolskra to lure Ole deeper into her domain. Like, I think I'm doing a good job pronouncing their names. I don't know. When he finally reaches her, the image transforms into the Skolskra, revealing her true form. A haunting forest spirit woman whose beauty hides danger. You see her back first, like the back of her, which is hollowed out and decaying, and you can see her beating heart through the open wound of her back. And then you battle her, you hide behind trees, you shoot things at her. It's one of the tougher and more annoying sections of the game, which there are a ton of. Like I said, that this game, the atmosphere and the ability to draw fear and awe out of its players, and its attention to details and the metaphors are great, but when you have to do too many video game actions in this game, like, it's so. But I digress. I still think Alberto should play it.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to the Skolskra folklore. So the story that the game team used for her, kind of two different stories that they kind of meshed together, but that's fine. But I'm going to tell it now. For Danelle and her dog. First, let me talk to the dog. now back to Danelle. So in a village near the edge, I thought that was the dog actually. It was Jeff. In the village near the edge of a forest, there's always a village in the edge of a forest. Anyways, there are whispers of a beautiful woman with long dark hair who is lurking in the shadows on full moon nights. It all adds up to me. Men started to follow her into the forest. Freaking guys. Some of them never returned. Those who did not return with their minds. They freaking lost them, Jeff. Keep up. Fed up.
Where is my mind?
Oh, I was hoping you would sing that. I love that song.
Me too.
Pixies. Pixies are in this game too, by the way. Not the band, but... So fed up with this... I don't think you're ready for this, Dino. Fed up with this lustful, luring lady lingering long, leading lost lads into leafy labyrinths, the village rounded up all of the dark-haired women and charged them with witchcraft.
Oh. Classic.
That's what they always do. When one person does something bad, you blame everyone else that looks like them, right? It's a great lesson. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
One by one, dark-haired women were executed until they found the right one, but men kept disappearing during full moon night, so they never found the right one. Now everyone's super pissed. The villagers start to burn down large areas of the forest, hoping to catch her in the fire, but alas, they would not. Instead, they burned down so much of the forest that it became a detriment to their resources, and they had killed so many of their mothers and daughters that, I mean, everything just sucked. It was not a good time in this village.
No.
Well, that's it, they said, in whatever language they spoke back then. Enough of the malarkey, they probably also said back then. So they sent 5 of their bravest men to go hunt this temptress on the brightest full moon of the year. And they found her in a clearing. She was beautiful. They were in love instantly. Freaking guys. As they grew closer to her, she transformed into a monster, cut their chest open, and hung them from the trees.
Oh, God. She
was able to gather powers from their still beating hearts. And they lived happily. Nobody saw them again. So, yeah, the end. That's pretty much the story of Skolskra. What a woman. You know, since I had a lot of fun finding out of context paragraphs in my research of these creatures, so I added some for her as well. So if I were to tell you, hey, look, I found this paragraph, and then I put LOL, I wouldn't be lying. I actually did laugh out loud when I read some of them during my research. So here's the first one. It appears in the form of a small, beautiful woman with a seemingly friendly temperament. She appears like a woman from the front, but seen from behind, she often has a tail and a hollow back or skin-like tree bark. So that made me laugh because I thought of the Doja Cat song Juicy. I don't know if you can see it from the front.
Oh, my gosh.
That made me laugh. Jeff, I don't know if you have Doja Cat Juicy on hand to play for us. Nope. Okay, never mind. It's fine. And then the next paragraph is, those who are enticed into following her into forest are never seen again. It was said that any human man who had intercourse with the Skolskra became an introvert, as his soul had remained with her. So I laughed at that because, I don't know, I think that sounds fine to me. That's not so bad, you know? You're with this beautiful temptress, and afterwards you just don't talk to anyone? Ah, man.
Yeah.
Go for it. I think that's fine. And then one more. If the seduced man is a hunter, he may be rewarded with good luck in the hunt. But should he be unfaithful to the Skolskra, he will be punished with numerous accidents. And that made me laugh because it made me think of the opening of the Dick Van Dyke Show. Falls over the couch. Keeps falling over things. So that's what I thought of. Anyways, those are the two characters from Bramble I wanted to talk about. I think those are the two most memorable characters, in my opinion. But there's a ton of others. A ton of other stories and folklore and characters to explore from the game. Again, honestly, I can't recommend it enough. I think we should... Danelle, if you're... I think we should start a Twitch stream. That will give... Not only give Jeff more work...
Oh, yeah.
But we can talk about these games And then you could actually play them, and you could stream it, and you could be like, oh, man, you could walk around in this game. Or, like, a reasonable facsimile thereof.
That's not a bad idea.
What do you think, Jeff? More work for you?
Yes.
Oh, he sounds like that now, does he?
Yes.
Yeah, there he is.
Oh boy!
So, yeah, those are those characters. And I don't know about you, Danelle, but all this storytelling's making me hungry.
The art of storytelling.
Jeff, if you only had a boom bap beep that said snacks over and over and introduced the next segment, I think we'd be in your debt for at least the rest of the day.
Snacks.
All right. Since the theme of today's episode was Scandinavian folklore, more or less, I think there was only one obvious choice for me when it comes to snacks. And no, Jeff, it's not Swedish fish. Nobody likes those.
Oh, that's what I thought, Swedish fish.
No. Do you like Swedish fish?
Well, I don't really like gummy candy much in general.
So you wouldn't like the worst gummy in the gummy family had you liked gummies. Or because you don't like gummies.
Oh, is that what you think?
Oh, my goodness. Not just me, a lot of people. Hmm. It's almost a candy corn level of argument. But we're not talking about that. So I'm going to move on to our actual snack, which is Swedish meatballs, of course.
Oh.
Listen, I love these darn balls of meat so much, I'm not even going to say pause after that sentence. That's how confident I am. I don't know about you, Danelle, being of Scandinavian descent yourself, they were a staple for me growing up. I loved Swedish meatball night. I begged for it even. Or I probably politely asked because I was the perfect little gentleman, proper and posh I was. Mummy, can we have Swedish meatball night? I'd say probably not.
No, we actually never had them.
No, never? Have you ever had a Swedish meatball?
Yeah, well, I've been to Sweden a couple of times.
Oh, that's right. You worked there, right?
No.
Correct? Oh, I thought you went for work.
My brother's ex-wife is from Sweden. Mm. And so we went there once on a vacation, and then the second time they got married there.
Okay.
So I've had actual, authentic Swedish meatballs in Sweden.
They just call them meatballs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I've had them, but it wasn't something we had rotated in my house, though. I don't know why.
Huh. I feel sorry for you now. Well, yeah, we had that rotating in the house. I think sometimes we would have it with, like, egg noodle. Maybe a sauce on that.
Oh, I just bought those last week.
Egg noodles? I love
egg noodles. I never eat them, and in some recipe, it, like, suggested it. And
Was it goulash?
No.
Oh. Do you like goulash? I mean,
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. It's striking out on the Scandinavian and Eastern European cuisine here today, you know? That's okay. We still love it.
We ate more Irish food than anything, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Like potted
Shepherd's
meat.
Pie.
And beer, yeah.
A lot of
anyways.
Fish.
I remembered mostly the meatballs. We'd have it with stuff, but I just remember the meatballs. They're savory and bold, just like me. Alluring aroma and pleasing appearance, Dino. Just like me.
Wow.
Hot and meaty. Yep.
It wasn't his eyebrows, it was his mouth kind of like.
You don't give me that look, Jeff. I didn't say it just like me.
Well, maybe we should bottle you up then and sell you.
Yeah, I think so. We'd finally make some money. Pop my collar twice for that.
Mikey Meatball Musk.
Oh, yes. Alliterated and everything. Mm-mm-mm. I didn't see Jeff's face when you said it. Mikey Meatball Musk. No, he likes it. All right. Never mind. Oh, I'm going to get clipped. So I was so excited thinking about Swedish meatballs for this segment. I texted my mom and asked her for her recipe, and she used the old Betty Crocker recipe. So it's got, I'm not going to read everything. I'm not going to read the measurements here, but we got ground beef, ground pork, minced onions, dry breadcrumbs, snipped parsley, salt, pepper, Worcestershire sauce, one egg, milk, salad oil. That's how old it is.
Salad oil.
Exactly. I think they call it something else now. Gold metal flour, which I wrote in parentheses, thought he had cane, but it was gold metal flour. Paprika, salt, pepper, water, and of course dairy sour cream, as opposed to, I don't know what. And then
non-dairy sour cream?
Yeah, I guess. I back in the day, I guess you had to have the distinction or something. But yeah, you do the thing. You mix it around. You walk around the kitchen. You shape them into balls and you cook them in a skillet.
Nice.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, yeah. 6 to 8 servings. I have the actual original picture my mom sent from the Betty Crocker cookbook that she still has. We should probably put it on the IG so people can make Swedish meatballs.
To try them again because I actually didn't like them.
What didn't you like about them? You expected an Italian meatball and you got something a little different?
I think so. It's not that. I've never been a fan of gravy. I didn't used to like gravy at all. I know that I think it's like whatever the gravy, it's in a gravy essentially, or whatever the...
Not always.
I mean, whatever the... I don't want to say sauce, but whatever that you're making it in, I didn't like the flavor of it at all. But I haven't had it in 20 years, probably.
I see.
So back then, I didn't like it at all. I don't know why. It was the flavor. There's something about the flavor I didn't like. I did used to like meatballs. I actually don't really like meatballs all that much either. I've never really liked meatballs. I don't know what it is. Something about the spices. Or maybe it's the pork and the beef combined. I don't know. Something about meatballs and gravies. I just not for it.
I see. I'm shocked. What about the movie meatballs? You remember
I was like, what are movie meatballs? I was like, I don't remember getting those when I go to the movies.
Yeah. Instead of a giant bucket of popcorn, it's a gigantic bucket of meatballs.
Could you imagine that?
Sauce on side for me. I don't want to be a hayseed sitting in there.
That would be with my saucy fingers. In the theater, you're trying to watch a movie and you just smell hot meat.
It's no pause. I'm telling you, we're not pausing today.
The movie Meatballs, yes. I mean, although it's one of those parody movies, and I don't really like parodies. Yeah. I think they're kind of silly. I don't like slapstick comedy, but it's funny. It's a good movie.
Right, and I wasn't going to be offended if you didn't like that movie. I would have been able to go.
It's a classic. I mean, I think I only like it because it just is my childhood.
Yeah. I'm more interested now in movie Meatballs. there must be. Sort of an alternate dimension or reality where instead of popcorn, people eat meatballs in the movies. Like there's infinite realities, right, that are parallel to our own.
Yeah.
There has to be at least one, and if there wasn't, there is now because we said it, where that's the only difference in that
world. I mean, it is an easy food because if you make them small enough, you know, just fork and plop and fork and plop.
The party meatballs with the toothpicks.
Yeah.
Someone always eats a toothpick, you know. Your old neighbor who's you lived next to for 20 years and they've been on the street for 120 years choked on a freaking meatball toothpick. Anyways,
I think we just started something new here. Movie meatballs.
Let's do it. That sounds pretty good. And beer. Anyways, one thing that's missing about the recipe that I shared is that for me, what was different, my mom cooked it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where the magic was.
Of course.
You could have 100 people, 100 Albertos, follow this exact recipe, and none of them would be as good as the ones that I grew up with. So take that, Alberto.
Yep.
Sorry, Alberto. I didn't mean to yell at you. I'm sure yours will be second best. And I guess they serve these at IKEA as well. That's like
my mom gets it when we go to IKEA.
Apparently they're really good. I've never had one myself. I probably should. A lot of people I know like really like them, but I don't know. Sweden seems amazing to me. I mean, in my opinion, they have the best meatballs. They have like the best heavy metal music, and they have the best dance pop band of all time, which is ABBA. So I might move there one day based on the amount of things that they have that are also the best.
And there's not a lot of people there. At least when I was there, there's like 6 to 8 million people in the whole country. I mean, we have millions of people in LA alone.
My goodness. Yeah, too many people in this area.
There's hardly anybody on their freeways. Well, I mean, this was 20 years ago now. I'm assuming the population's grown, but still, there was, like, nobody on the freeway. The air was so clean. There's trees everywhere, and it was...
They have all the flavors of Zen. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone did smoke when I was out. Everyone did the chewing tobacco, the snus, when I was out there.
That's where it's from, man. That's, like, where it started.
And they're all pretty... Big going pretty, to clubs.
Pretty reserved, too, right, I think? Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And luckily everyone speaks English out there, too. It's one of the countries you can go to that you don't have to speak the language. I mean, I know a lot of countries are like that, but it was... They kept thinking I was Swedish, and they would speak to me in Swedish, and then I'd have to, like, what? And eventually, oh, you're American! And then they'd switch to English.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean...
Hopefully, I recommend going on a vacation there, for sure.
Yeah, I would actually love to. And
old history, I mean, that's great about Europe in general, is the history there. All the old buildings. We went to so many castles when we were there. It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is the great part about Europe. I haven't been to Europe in a long time. Yeah. Maybe we should get work on becoming really famous and go on tours, if we can go to Sweden and talk about Bramble.
Yes.
Yeah. Jeff, write that down. That is what we want to do. So we need to pair these amazing meatballs with an amazing game.
Yes.
Remember that part, Danelle?
No, I forget every time. Every time.
For Danelle, and those of you who don't know, Snacks is where we pair amazing food with an amazing game, just like fine wine and fancy food. Snacks is spelled with an X. So it would be easy to just say, we're playing Bramble and move on, but that wouldn't be fun. So what I'm going to do... is give you a game called Noita, which is a game by Finnish indie developer Nala Games. So we're sticking with the Scandinavian theme here. Guest writer Sam Squanch actually gifted me this game last Christmas.
Aw, nice.
And I was lightweight obsessed with it for a while. The way Sam described it to me was, you're like this witch, and it's a roguelike, and you explore this cave, and you die a lot. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty good. Like, that was the basic gist of it. And I was like, that sounds good. Graphics are amazing. Simple pixel graphics that makes me think I'm in the mid to early 90s, but also buttery smooth and modern looking at the same time. So really good job with the visuals. Sam's description is pretty much right. It is a 2D action roguelike. That means that you... die and you start over type thing, with like a new run to bring you back up to speed on what a roguelite is. Then you walk around, you explore, you cast spells, you die permanently, you try again with procedurally generated levels and a lot of randomness. You play as a witch, or a noita, which is witch in Finnish. Gain, modify, and combine spells or wands as you go, and it's all random. The world is made up of materials with different physical and chemical properties, liquid, gas, solid, etc. Calm down, Jeff. You can burn, freeze, dissolve, melt, evaporate, collapse, explode, etc. Barrels, water, soil, water, acid, walls, everything is like
acid interactable. Walls.
Yeah, acid walls. Which might actually be a thing in Noita. So the best part is each run, like I mentioned, is procedurally generated. So you'll never get the same experience. Like,
oh, nice.
More than one run. Like, it's different every time you play it. It's always cool. Pure chaos because of the randomness. Like, you might shoot an enemy who lights on fire because you have a certain weapon that does that. And they might run away. You might not see them, but they might have, like, burned another area because they're on fire below you, which breaks apart by the time you get to it, and then you fall into a vat of acid. That kind of stuff.
Of course.
You have many... You know, that happens all the time. I hate when that happens. You'll have many runs. Not the runs, but you'll have many runs because you will die very often. And I love those games where you just... Aww. You go, you walk around for a minute, and then you die, and then you start over. There's not really a tutorial... There's no hand-holding. It's just you kind of learn something new every time you play. You're like, oh, shit, that does that. I won't do that next time.
Yeah. And
then, of course, a little luck goes a long way as well. Sometimes I'll, like, if I have a really busy day, I'll turn it on for, like, 5 minutes and just do a run and then, like, die pretty quickly usually. And sometimes I'll play for hours. So it's one of those kind of games. And it's frustrating to die as many times as you do, but it's also often hilarious. So at least you get to laugh in the various ways that you die. Shout out to the developers. I think they made a really genius game. The way that every single pixel is simulated, like everything in the game is random each time. And how they things react differently to each other. It feels like endless possibilities. And it's such a simple package. It's great with meatballs. It's great with beer. Danelle, your thoughts
on... Great with my cat.
Great with cat.
Meow.
Your thoughts on Noita and Swedish meatballs. I think we didn't get you with the meatballs, but maybe maybe the game you'll think about playing on our new Twitch stream.
Yeah, I like witches. So yeah. I am one. So
right.
I like that. And I do like the randomness idea.
Yeah.
And it's always something different every time. That's kind of cool. It kind of keeps my attention. I'm kind of been in the industry so long that you just do the same things over and over and over again all the time, and I'm over it.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
Randomness sounds great to me. Sounds cool.
Actually, you know, thinking about testing a game like that could be nightmarish.
I was just going to say that, actually, because how would like, you get back to that again? Or, like...
How many times did you reproduce it? I could only do it once.
Yeah, we hate that. Yeah. It's not a bug then, or it's not going to happen more than once.
Yeah, nightmare.
Oh, man, that's true.
I think it was one of those games that was in early access for, like, ever, and so, you know, developers get away with more. But every time I play it, it's not buggy, so.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Shout out to it. Fun.
Yeah. All right, we'll quickly get to some Rapido Fyro. Just want to end it with Bramble. I'm not going to make you do anything today, Danelle. Like I said, I had a lot of fun researching this, and so I have a couple more out-of-context passages from characters I was researching. So I'll give you the character, because I didn't include all the characters before. These are new characters for this segment. I'll give you the character, a little bit of a backstory on the character, and then a funny out-of-context passage, plain and simple. So without further ado... Bless you. We'll start with Will of the Wisp. You know Will of the Wisp, right? Ghostly lights, usually appearing over bogs that mislead travelers into dangerous ground. We'll hate when that happens. They're in multiple tales across Europe. In Scandinavian culture, the Litgub, or Lantern Man, or other similar names, they appear as trickster lights. Also, the Will of the Wisp in some countries is known as Jack-o'-lantern, Danelle, so you know these guys. The myth embodies warnings about treacherous marshes and the supernatural. And so the passage that I thought was funny was, bear with me here, this is dumb, but the passage is, in Sweden, also, the Will of the Wisp represents the soul of an unbaptized person trying to lead travelers to water in the hopes of being baptized. And then it has a source link. And you know what the source link said, Danelle? Unreliable source.
Let's
I thought, because that's like a ridiculous description. It's like, it's like tricking unbaptized. The unbaptized souls feel bad for not being baptized, so they want to get souls that are alive to be baptized. And that source was from an unreliable one. So that just made me laugh.
So they just made it up.
Yeah, yeah. So that was my LOL came from unreliable source.
Wow.
the next creature is a Draugr, or the cursed dead. But Draugr is how you say it, I think. Draugr? I don't know. I can't pronounce any of these. They are undead beings.
Draugr.
Yeah, you're probably right. Probably Draugr.
Draugr.
Undead beings that haunt burial mounds and shorelines, not the amphitheater. In some tales, they're corporal revenants with unnatural strength and hunger for the living. The game Bramble uses sickness and curse imagery that echoes Draugr themes in the plague village sections. So the passage that I thought was funny out of context was, Draugrs usually possess superhuman strength and are said to be generally hideous to look at. So... I thought that was funny because it was like, they possess superhuman strength. I was like, cool. And then it was like, and they're fucking ugly. And I was like, oh, poor guy. So
generally hideous. Not always, I guess. Or not, that's not the, maybe some people think they're not hideous.
And that's why people can look forward to a new teenage romance novel that Danelle and I are writing called The One Handsome Druger. And it's a series of books coming out next fall in which the there's one Druger that's actually not hideous to look at, because generally they're hideous to look at. That's that's that story. It's going to be the next Twilight, honestly.
Yeah.
And then finally, the last creature is the Mountain King, which is the boss of the game, which is described as a folkloric king of trolls and a ruler of subterranean mountain court. He represents the mountain's ancient, regal monstrousness and often presides over tests of human pride and folly. And as far as I can tell, the Mountain King, I think, is inspired by the classical song In the Hall of the Mountain King, which was used in an old Norwegian play called Peer Gynt, or Gynt. Don't make fun of my pronunciation. And I'll read an act from that play, which I thought was funny. But you know that song, right? Danelle, Hall of the Mountain King? Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Oh, okay. Did not know the name.
I love that song. So here's the passage. I'm just going to read it and see if you think it's funny, Danelle. He comes across a woman clad in green who claims to be the daughter of the Troll Mountain King. Together they ride into the mountain hall, and the Troll King gives Peer the opportunity to become a troll if Peer would marry his daughter. Peer agrees to a number of conditions, but declines in the end. He is then confronted with the fact that the green-clad woman has become pregnant. Peer denies this. That was my out-of-context paragraph. I just thought that was funny. I mean, that's hilarious. Peer denies this. It just ends with that. Anyways, Danelle, what have you learned?
I wouldn't say that I've learned that folk culture is cool. I've always thought folk culture was cool. I like it a lot. I didn't know that there was not that there's so many games, but I guess I've never really paid attention or looked into folk lore style games.
Right.
Which sounds really cool.
Absolutely.
I love folk music. I mean, Simon and Garfunkel are right up my alley. But this is more sort of like, I guess, well, the stuff you've been doing is more so like Scandinavian folklore or...
Today, yeah.
Yeah, today. But I don't know. There's some cool games out there, cool music. I like it.
And we're gonna get a Twitch stream and a new book coming out. So it's a lot of good things are happening here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully we have time to get to our main topic today, which is how the hell Honey-Baked Ham stays in business if they only sell hams like 2 days out of the year, which Danelle already said earlier that it's because they're expensive. But let's see.
It's packed.
It's always packed, yeah, on Easter and, what, Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Jeff, do we have time to talk about that today, or what in the fork, Jeff? You cut me off again. Well, that music.
Out.
Joey Gladstone's shown up, told us to cut it out. Why did everyone think that was funny, by the way? When he did that on Star Search... He did cut it out. And
did he?
The audience lost his mind. Like, Star Search in the show.
Yeah.
On the show, he goes on Star Search, he goes, cut it out. And the audience lost their mind. Like, they all knew they were all in on the joke. And I was like, wait a minute. That's not that funny. Anyways, getting the high sign from Jeff.
It was the times.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there was some other stuff going on. But we don't have time to talk about it. Today, we're out of time. So it's time to say goodbye, Danelle.
Goodbye.
And only a couple more weeks of our spooky shows, so only a couple more weeks of our spooky double shift toast, which is, of course, may your gamer score be heavy and your backlog be light. May your connection be spooky and your aim precision tight. May your Joy-Cons be as mighty as the ocean, but never should they drift. And for all you QA ghost pirates out there, you'll survive your double shift. Play ball, everybody.
That was good. I know, we talked too long through that last part.
It's Jeff's fault.